There's a word from the Lord, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It's a word that we shared in part some years ago. But I felt the Lord leading me to this text once again, that this text would find its target in the heart of someone that's here today. That I believe this is a word for you this morning. This is a word for us. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 reads as thus. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors, then go into your house and with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Boy, if we could just, she did, y'all, as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." I want to talk this morning from the thought, an answer to emptiness. An answer to emptiness. I'm sure most of us in the house today remember our first love. I remember mine. That she was lame, that she was sleek, that she had curves out of this world, that she had a blue body, a cloth interior. Y'all get it now. It was a 1972 Dodge Demon. I got enough sense to say the right thing. But y'all, she was beautiful. I remember my dad working and putting it together and getting it painted, and I just fell in love with her. But y'all, one day I was driving down the road, and my girl let me down. I couldn't figure out what was wrong, and so I popped the hood, and I'm looking around. I'm mechanicking the best I can. I am not a mechanic, y'all. I'm checking the spark plugs. I'm checking everything out. Can't figure out what's wrong. Jump back in the car. Look at the gas needle. And she's sitting to the left of E. All of this tinkering, all of this trying to figure out what was wrong, and all she needed was a little bit of gas. But she was empty. An empty car is one thing. But what about an empty life? I wonder how many of us in this room right now, if we were honest, perhaps there's some area in our lives where we're at the left of E. That perhaps you're in a relationship right now and you're smiling at me and you're looking good, but if the truth could be told, listen, you're at the left of E. That maybe you're on a job right now and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've given your best, but right now in this moment, you feel like you're at the left of E, that you're on empty. When we talk about empty, we talk about those moments in those circumstances in life that leave us numb, that make us feel like we're worn out, we're detached, we're tapped out. It's that human condition of alienation. It brings about a sense of apathy, despair, and grief. And listen, y'all, it impacts all of us at some level of life at some point. Have you ever felt like there was a void in your life? Have you ever felt like there's something wrong, but you could not even articulate it? You couldn't understand. Some of y'all are smiling, but you're on empty right now.
Yeah. Say it.
It reminds me of that cartoon Popeye. Y'all remember Popeye? That Popeye and Oliver. That's it. Thank you for helping me preach it. Yeah. Tell some of the young folks so they know Popeye. Popeye, Olive Oil, and Brutus and Wimpy. But Popeye would get beat up by Brutus time and time again. But when he got that can of spinach, that he would regain his strength. And he started beating up Brutus. Y'all remember it. But I wonder how many people feel like you're looking for your spinach. You're looking for your help, you're looking for your strength, but you cannot find it. You feel like you're on E. So today, this woman that we're speaking of in the text, her situation, her circumstances are dire. But they're critical. That the woman's husband has died. And that he was a man that feared God, that reverenced God, that he was a man amongst the prophets. And so the creditors are after this lady because she ain't paid her bills. And so she runs to this prophet, this mighty prophet by the name of Elisha, who happens to be the protege and the mentor of the mighty prophet Elijah. She comes to him and she cries out to him. This woman is broke, she's busted, she's disgusted. Listen, her life is on E, it's empty. But I came to tell you something, God specializes in empty. I need you to know that today. If you feel like your life is empty, your tank is empty, God specializes in empty. And God can fill you up again. So let me ask you, how's your life tank today? How's your thought tank? How's your strength tank? Do you feel like you're on empty right now? Again, this woman, she had empty written all over her life. She's emotionally empty. That she's at the end of her rope, that she's hopeless and she's helpless. Listen, she's gone through Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, y'all. So she's gone through denial and anger and bargaining and depression, and she's trying to get to acceptance, but she cannot accept her situation. You ever been there before? Feel like you have no passion, no zeal, feeling like your future may be in a fog, that she's emotionally empty. But not only that, she's relationally empty. Listen, her husband's dead. No more greeting him at the door with a kiss. No more feeling the warm body beside her in the night. No chats about the day. How was your day, baby? It was good. How was yours? No more of that. And so she's relationally empty. He was the main provider of the household. And she's left with her 2 sons to take care of them. She's emotionally and relationally empty, but she's also financially empty. But the repo man is coming not to take a car, but to possess her sons. That tradition in that time was, it was acceptable. If you could not pay your bills, the creditor could take your sons, your children, as slaves until you could pay your debt, pay your debt off. They're unsympathetic to her needs. They could care less that her life is on empty. That she didn't have government assistance. Y'all know, no programs to help her. And soon, listen, she'd be under that empty nest syndrome. Her sons would be taken. They wouldn't go off to college. They weren't going off to the military. They weren't marrying and going off to have a life to themselves, but they would be enforced into slavery. So what would this woman do? What would you do? What do you do when you feel like your life is on empty? When you're tapped out, you have no more to give, that you're in despair. What do you do when all that you have is suddenly taken away from you? I think this woman's response is instructive to us today in terms of what we can do when our lives seem like they're on empty. The first thing I want us to notice from the text is this, is that in her emptiness, she came to Elisha and she cried out. verse 1, that the woman knew where to go. Where do you go when you need to cry out? Who do you run to when you're in need? Do you run to God as a priority in life? Or do you seek the help of others? It's good to have the help of other people, but as a priority, we ought to run and cry out to God. That when you feel like you're empty, that you can go no further, that you're to the left of E, try falling on your knees and crying out to God as a priority. And I believe God will bring the right people, the right things into your life to help you out. But like a child who falls down on the ground and they scrape their knees or they scrape an elbow and they get up. And what do? They run straight to mama or daddy. That's what we need to do, y'all. That when we feel like we've fallen in life and we're empty in life, why not get up and run to Jesus? Why not get up and run to God? This woman cries out to Elisha. Now, Elisha is like in the place of God in a sense. He's the God man. He's a mighty prophet of God. So he's God's representative in the earth at the time. So it's kind of like this woman running to God. And she cries out. That word for cry out in the Hebrew, it's a deep word. It's like a thunderous cry out. It's not like a Elisha. Elisha. No, it's one of those snot crying, tears flowing down your eye. It's a belly cry. Y'all ever had some folk cry on y'all? And it's a deep belly cry. They crying so hard it makes you want to cry. Yeah. That she's crying out to the man of God. Her cry is intentional. It's directed towards the man of God. In a sense, it's directed towards God. To whom do you direct your tears? I need somebody to understand this morning. God understands the language of your teardrops. God knows exactly what you're going through at this very moment. So if you need to cry, baby, go ahead and cry. But cry out to God first. Cry out to God as a priority. In her emptiness, she came to Elisha and she cried out. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. And he pities my every groan. And so if you feel like you're empty right now, if you feel like your life tank is to the left of E, I encourage you to cry out to God as a priority. Go to God. Cry out to him. Tell him where you're empty. Tell him where you're in despair and you feel hopeless and you feel helpless. Cry out to God. Next thing that she does, in obedience, she followed Elisha's command, y'all. I'll let you read again verses 2 through 6 for yourself. We'll kind of go through it. Elisha asked her two basic questions. How can I help you? And what's in the house? How can I help you? What is it that you need? And what's in the house? What do you have that could help you make it out of this situation? This is not a point for some guessing game. Y'all know. God expects us, y'all, to articulate what our need is. And some may be asking, why does God want me to do that? If God already knows everything about everything, why do I have to go to God? Why do I have to ask and seek and knock? God already knows what he's God, isn't he? He's all wise. But y'all, our relationship with the Lord, It's not transactional. It's not tit for tat. It's relational. That in the asking and the seeking and the knocking, it's establishing a stronger relationship with the Lord. It's helping us to grow in our faith. So God expects us to articulate what it is that we need. James 4:2 says, listen, you have not because you have not asked. And too often times when we ask on our own selfish motives. That we need to go to God and we need to ask God. Philippians 4:6, let your request be made known unto God. Tell God what it is that you want and you need. Call him up, as the old folk used to say, and tell him what you want. Let him know what you need. But look at the woman's assessment. It revealed It revealed empty, y'all. She said, all I have, I really have nothing. I have this little flask, this little cruise, this little bottle of oil. That's all I have. So in her mind, her life was empty. But here's what we need to know too. Listen, if God is asking you to reveal what you have, little in God's hand is much. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That Moses came with a stick and a stutter, it was enough for God. That David came with a sling and a rock, it was enough for God. That there was a little boy that was before Jesus, all he had was a few fish and loaves of bread, it was enough for Jesus to do something with. Your little is much in the hands of God. The blessings received sometimes come as a result of what we offer first. What is the Lord asking you for? And are you willing to offer it to him? Listen, you may be broke, busted, disgusted, whatever it is, but if God is asking you to give him something, will you give it to him? Sometimes God is just asking for your obedience. Yeah, it got quiet right there. A demonstration of faith and obedience, even in your littleness, in your brokenness, in your heaviness, bring it to God in faith. There's a text, y'all, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I love this verse. It says, we know it well. Give and it shall be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, we know it. And we use it a lot of times in what, y'all, when it comes to money. But when you read the text and the content, it's not even talking about money. It's talking about stuff like not being judgy, not being judgmental against others, having compassion and love for other people. That when you give it, it'll come back to you in return. It come back to you greater. If we're critical of other people, if we criticize, and then that's what we receive. If we're judging, that's what we receive. But when we love and we have compassion for one another, listen, I believe this, God will give it back to us in return and even greater. And so I certainly believe in the text that and the woman does it, that she's going to offer him the little that she has, but God is going to give us so much more in return. Do you think the oil was really needed for God to perform a miracle? Again, it's a point of faith. It's a point of trusting God. That if I offer to God what I have, that God will give me so much more in return. It reveals our faith. I don't want to get there yet. Listen, reveal your little to God. Listen, do like E. Fowler used to say. Some of y'all remember the rapper. Show me what you're working with. And I believe God is waiting on that from some. Show God what you're working with. Whatever God asks you for, give it to God. Some of the young folk there, who's E. Fowler? Y'all better recognize. No, I didn't say E40. Don't go home and listen to that song. Y'all, look at what Elisha says to the woman. Go borrow some empty. Huh? Man of God, I ain't got nothing already. Oh my God. And you want me to go borrow some empty vessels? She's already on empty. She's tapped out. But the man of God, Elisha, says, go and borrow some empty vessels. Listen, y'all, listen. God sense is good sense when it makes no sense. What am I saying to you? Follow what God says for you to do. Listen, God will ask you to do some things sometimes in life that makes no sense whatsoever. People will look at you sideways and crazy and everything. But whatever God asks you to do, that's what you should do. That she's obedient to the man of God, which is being obedient to God. Whatever God asks you to do, that's what you should do. It reminds me of the widow at Zarephath in Elijah, when there was a famine in the land, and God took him from one place. He said, go to Zarephath. There's going to be a widow that's going to feed you there. Now, you would have thought when he got there, that widow would have had a refrigerator full of food. Right. That she would have had everything that he needed. But he gets there, and Elijah's, he's like, this woman, she's picking up some sticks, y'all. And I'm sure, God, this the woman I'm supposed to see.
And the woman reveals to him, listen, I'm getting these sticks together. I'm going to go to the house. All I have is a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son. And after that, we're going to lay down and we're going to die. It looks like it makes no sense that God would call Elijah to go to this woman. But God had a purpose in that circumstance. God had a purpose in that situation. And for y'all that know the story, Elijah said, listen, before you eat some for you and get some for you and your son, make a cake for me. Now, how many mothers in the house? Your baby hungry. Pastor Kevin Love run up in there and say, listen, I know y'all ain't got but two pieces of chicken left, but hook me up first. I don't think I'd be there alone. But she's obedient.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
God's sense is good sense when it makes no sense. That she did what Elijah asked her to do. And at the end of the story, the woman has more than enough to eat for her and for her son. So what do we do with this text? How do we handle it for real in our lives at the everyday practical speed of life? Because the reality is there are times in our lives when we feel like we're on empty, y'all, when we're tapped out, that we can handle no more, we can do no more. What do we do? You know, this third thing, y'all, it's 10:07. We're going to get out of here in a minute. I know y'all want to get to the game. So what did she do? That her emptiness, in her emptiness, she came to Elijah and she cried out. In obedience, she followed his command, y'all. That she did what was asked of her. And we notice in the text then that she takes her son and her sons, and they go into the house being obedient to Elijah, and they shut the door behind them so that naysayers and nosy folk didn't have to be there to see what was going to take place. She followed the instructions, and they begin to pour the oil. She began to pour. He said, get all of these vessels. Collect all of these vessels and bring them to it. And they begin to pour. One vessel, the fool. Keep pouring. Another, now all she got is a little cruise of oil, y'all. She don't have much. But she keeps pouring, and the oil keeps on flowing. The amount poured is in direct proportion to the vessels that she had. That God's provision matched what she had, what she needed. And it was even more. I look at this story, I just wonder sometimes if by the time they got to that last jar and the oil was still flowing, if she'd have said, give me another jar, y'all. We ain't got no boy. You better go find another jar. This oil flowing like this, you better go find me another jar. I wonder sometimes, is our faith too little? This is not the case in this situation. She's being obedient. But if God is asking us to do a thing, is our faith sometimes too little, or is our thinking too small? This woman cries out to Elijah. She responds to him in obedience. And at the end of the day, y'all, at the end of the day, out of God's goodness, her emptiness was turned into fullness. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. That at the end of the day, God provided more than enough. But there's no explanation behind the miracle. I looked at the text, the only thing I could come up with was this, y'all. That was only because of God's goodness. It was not because of the woman. It was not because that her husband was a prophet, that he was dead. It was only because God was good. It was only because of his grace. All that happened, it was because of God. That God was behind the miracle. That it's God that can bring water from a rock. It's Jesus that can turn water to wine. It's Jesus that can heal the sick and the blind. It's Jesus that can reverse death. And it's only Jesus that can save us. And we thank God for the miracle of salvation in our lives. That her emptiness was met by God, just by God's goodness. That God was good to her. That God is the source of all goodness. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of life, of lights. That all goodness comes from God. This woman's life was on E. The answer to her emptiness was God's goodness. It was his grace. It was his mercy in her life. I love what the psalmist says. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Has anybody seen the goodness of the Lord in your life? Don't fool me now. Have you seen the goodness of God operating and moving in your life? That you were ready to give up and throw in the towel, but the goodness of God stepped into the room, stepped into your life, stepped into your heart, and you regained your strength. I thank God for his goodness. So, as we close out, y'all, think about that situation in my first love. What occurs, and she was lame. And at the end of the day, that needle was to the left of each. She was empty. But I thought about this. There's some people that love playing the miles until empty game.
Yeah.
You know the game, how it starts. Mr. Red, they wait till that hand get right there on that E. And they would get in their car and drive it. And like it's like they waiting to see if they're going to run out of gas before they can get to a gas station. I don't like that game. I don't like riding with people that like that game. I'm on somebody's street. If I'm riding with you, the first thing I'm going to do is look over at your gas hand. If you need a few dollars, we're going to go to the gas station, put some gas in this rascal. Because Pastor don't like to walk. And I sure ain't going to push no car. But I read this article, y'all. I read an article by NAPA, the National Auto Parts Association. Y'all know you get your NAPA parts. You guess you got some good parts. But they said in this article, we can relax. Because 90% of the time, you'll be able to get to the next fuel pump with miles to spare, even if your gas gate reads empty. Why? Wait a minute. Don't go home and try this, y'all. But here's the reason. The E indicator on your gas gauge doesn't really mean you're out of fuel, out of gas. Yes, I know it's confusing, y'all. It just don't sound right. But for the last 25 years, y'all, when they've been building automobiles, when that rascal hits E, you have what's called a fuel reserve, which means there's more gas in the tank than you understand or know. Your vehicle is letting you know you almost reached the bottom, but listen, you're now in fuel reserve. But can I apply this to the Christian life? As a believer, y'all, look, sometimes it looks like, listen, we're sitting right there on E, but by the grace and the power of God, that by the power of his Holy Spirit, he kicks in and we have Holy Spirit reserve. We have faith reserve and fuel reserve. And if you are at the end of your rope, if it seems like your tank is empty, you're right there on E. Listen, God has given you his Spirit and his life to fill you up again. Somebody needs a refill today. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you a refill. He wants to tank top off your tank. You need a refill right now. You need a refill in your worship, a refill in your praise. You feel like you're on empty. And God wants to refill you today. But you have received power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Be not drunk with wine where it's egg, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That listen, if you are a believer, and you feel like your life is on empty, that your tank is low, that you can't make it anymore, that you're tapped out, I dare you to trust God today. I dare you to cry out to him. And as God speaks, whatever he says to you,
Walk in obedience. And watch what God will do in your life, in my life. And God will take your E to full. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that it finds its target in the hearts of these your people, oh God. Too oftentimes we can talk the part and look the part. We can dress the part. But behind the smiles, and sometimes as we look into the eyes of other people, and their eyes speak, they're not saying the same things that their lips are saying. That they're empty. They've done all they can. They can do no more. That we can sing on a praise team, that we can preach, that we can usher, serve as greeters. We can do all of these things but still be on empty. There's a void in our lives. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We got to have you, Lord. We got to have you. And so this morning we reach out to you. We cry out to you. Help us, oh God. God, I pray that you'd help relationships. Help, oh God, that heart, Lord God, that's been longing for that other person in their lives. God, oftentimes when we're on empty, we don't make the right decisions. We don't do the right things. That we try to fill our empty with that which you said is prohibited, we should not do. But God, you are our source and you are our supply. And so in all of our emptiness, fill us, Lord God. Fill us with your power. And let it overflow. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.